FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is May 25th, 2016. And been watching gold and silver get hammered, cartel slam downs. Well, perhaps it was inevitable. I thought there was at least one or two retracements left before whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But as always, we've got Andrew Hoffman over at milesfranklin.com here to talk about it. Andy, hello.
How are you, Kerry?
All right. So, you know, can't be too surprised what's happening, can you?
Well, I got a lot to say about that. First of all, everyone needs to listen to my 42-minute audio blog from literally the day of the FOMC minutes attack going into the next morning, where I describe everything about the thought process of the Fed and the cartel and what they were doing and where we stand right now. It's called The Cartel's Desperately Pathetic FOMC Minutes Attack Will Miserably Fail. And basically what it comes down to is this. Look, we are now in a bull market in gold and silver, certainly around the world and even here in the United States for the first time in 4 years, which was why I was hoping against all hopes that for once the commercials would lose the temporary battle. And remember, they lost big time in the spring of 2011. They had massive shorts and they covered into silver going up to $50 an ounce and cried uncle. And only with their Sunday night paper silver massacre, you know, with the we killed bin Laden and all that stuff, were they able to extricate themselves, which of course they won't be able to do again. But this time around, with prices far lower, I mean, we're talking about this started with silver at $16 an ounce as opposed to $40 or $45 an ounce last time. They've taken their short position to much, much higher levels, all-time record, and in gold as well, with gold at just, $1,200 an ounce or $1,100 compared to when they had to do it last time at $1,700 or $1,800 an ounce, because they are so terrified of what's going on in the world and of the record physical demand and the exploding money printing and negative interest rates and the social instability and all these things going on, that at these ridiculously low levels, although not low gold in other currencies, but in the United States dollar, they had to take record short positions. And it really looked like, just to keep things from exploding, and it really looked like for a while they may actually have a spring 2011 like event where they had to cover their shorts. And unfortunately, they were able to survive. They capped, and then they all got together last week and said, look, we got to create an event. It's not we killed bin Laden or anything, mm-hmm. as if that was silver bearish, but we got to do something. And so we're going to, you know, put out this propaganda starting the day before the meeting that we're thinking about raising rates, and then we'll put out the minutes from a month ago and say that we're thinking about raising rates. And at the same time, we will put in some massive, massive short orders. And hopefully this time around, we can just swamp all the longs, who of course are on margin, and get them to all sell as their stop levels are hit. And sure enough, it worked. They got it to happen. I mean, silver, by the way, didn't even go under its 50-day moving average, and gold barely went under its. And now they're both heavily oversold. And I think the entire world realizes what has just happened, let alone that the news hasn't changed. In fact, God, look at this morning's PMI service number, which goes with the other day's manufacturing number, confirming that why anyone would believe there's going to be a rate hike is beyond me. And of course, if you listen to my audio blog from last week, you realize they never said anything of the sort about raising interest rates. They said what they always say, if the data supports it, we will, which is what they've been saying for the last 3 or 4 years and doing nothing about it. So again, all they did was they bought themselves a little time. I think you're going to see a very rapid snapback because, again, they barely did any technical damage. And as far as the fundamentals, all they did was make the price a lot cheaper at a time where people are already buying it en masse. So again, you know, especially as we head into June, I mean, my God, on June 2nd, you have the OPEC meeting. On June 15th, now the Fed has pinned themselves into a corner. I mean, I can't see how they could raise rates unless they, you know, they want to shoot themselves in the head like they did. I mean, things are much worse now than than they were back in December. And look what happened when they raised rates in December. And then, of course, you have the Brexit vote on June 23rd, which I said is the most important election and potentially precious metal bullish election in world history. And this is all going on in the coming weeks. You have Greece is falling apart, you know, Venezuela, Brazil, you name it. And of course, we have our election that's creeping closer and closer. And as I pointed out the other day, you know, we're supposed to be the most stable country in the world. Think about the election process we're about to go through, where you have Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And I mean, you think we've had negative campaigns before. This is going to end. Put them all together. It won't compare to what we're going to have here. So this is the time to cover your own shorts when it comes to precious metals.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the election cycle. This one is definitely the most interesting one that I've ever lived through. And it's totally unpredictable, which shows that nobody is basically controlling it. It's out of control. They attempted to. And stability. Whatever happened to stability here, Andy?
I mean, look, this is what happens when you have seven and a half billion people in the world and not enough resources and too much money printing. I mean, my God, when you think about how high the cost of living is, you know, we're sitting here worried about how, our inflation is getting up there. When you look at what it's like around the world, you know, the cost of living is just exploding everywhere. And I think of how my cost of living is exploding, which is nothing compared to the cost of living around the world, which I think is going to get a lot higher, because as the crisis evolves, you're going to see the same thing that you always see: people rushing to the liquidity of the dollar, which means other currencies used by 6+ billion people getting crushed, and, you know, more surging inflation and more instability. And again, you know, this referendum trend, where, remember, you know, the last two referendums were won by the people in Catalonia and in Greece. And now you have the Brexit coming up. And heck, you know, next week, as I forgot about that, 1 week from now, the Swiss will vote as to whether the average family of four should get the equivalent of $100,000 pre-tax dollars per year forever from the government, from the Swiss, the conservative Swiss national banks.
Oh, that's fair.
Press.
That's fair. You don't
what
think
do you
that
think's
would be
happen
a,
with that, Kerry?
No, that'll be voted down for sure.
Why do you think that?
Because the stupid people aren't yet the majority. You can't. That's pure unabashed socialism. That living wage type thing, guaranteed minimum income. It's just not going to happen here. And they couldn't get their act together to go back on the gold standard. They're not going to be doing this. This, you know, they have a very liberal referendum process in Switzerland, and kind of like California's, and crazy things just get on there. Now, hey, could we be surprised? Well, anything's possible, but it's just not going to happen.
Well, you know what? I haven't seen the polls. It's not getting a lot of press coverage like the gold referendum, which was clearly manipulated in the press and in the markets to make sure they got what they wanted. I haven't seen anything about this, but don't underestimate. This to me is a perfect referendum on human nature. And I think of, you know, someone sent me an email the other day that said, who's going to vote against this? And I'm thinking, yeah, why would I'll vote for it. Look, I mean, especially me, because I own gold, right? So I know that if the voting for hyperinflation is only going to help me relative to others. But forgetting that, if someone is saying, we're going to give you the equivalent of $100,000 a year, your family, why would you say no? Because you can say, yeah, it'll create inflation, but I think in the short term, it'll be good for me. I don't think it'll create hyperinflation around the world. So probably we'll be better off than most, at least for some time. It reminds me of, you know, I'm a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, right? And I've been now for, God, since the late 90s. So got 15, 20 years or so. And I remember a few years ago, because, you know, you were a lawyer, right?
Yeah, well.
So you had your continuing education requirements, like all lawyers.
CLE.
CLE. So in the CFA, we didn't have that equivalent, but they decided in the CFA Institute in Virginia that maybe we should do that for CFAs, that every year they should take a certain amount of credit so they can maintain it. But instead of mandating that, which is what you'd think they would do, you know, the CFA board, they spent 2 years, not like a month or two years of sending out to everyone saying, we're going to have a vote in 2 years as to whether we should do this. It's in your hands. You're going to vote. And I'm thinking, why would they ask me if I wanted to? First of all, I don't think you even need it. But why would you ask me if I would want to regulate myself and get no benefit from it. They're going to have a 99% vote. And sure enough, after all the money they spent marketing it, it was like a 99% vote for no. And it's the same kind of thing here.
Yeah.
If we had a vote here in the United States, forgetting what I do and my asset, you know, diversification, I would vote for it. Sure. You want to do helicopter money? I'll take it. So don't be surprised if the people in Switzerland say, yeah, why not? I mean, at least in the short term, I'll be better off than most. So don't be surprised.
They're practical people. There are practical people. I don't want to bet on it, but somebody owes me a lunch because they bet against Trump. So I could bet you that lunch that I'm owed.
Well, I'm not counting on it, but I'm saying the referendum trend, as I call it, is moving against the government right now. And I cite the Oxy in Greece and the Catalonia. I don't know what'll happen in the Brexit. I see all kinds of numbers that, you know, and they're going to be manipulated like anything else, as the propaganda, and they'll be playing around with the markets beforehand. But, you know, the trend is not the government's friend. And at some point, there's going to be one of these losses, which is catastrophic. Maybe it's the Brexit. And believe me, if the Swiss do vote for this, I know people, a lot of people think, it's just going to be part of, you know, Switzerland. No, I think there are going to be massive global ramifications, starting with, you know, the potential for, you know, pockets of hyperinflation in Europe. Remember, Switzerland's already the highest cost country in all of Europe, if not the entire world. So again, there's a lot on the line here, and it's only a week from now, not to mention the Brexit, which is only 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Yep. And the Brexit, well, that's going to fail, right?
Well, you know, I've seen polls. And everyone, by the way, everyone needs to Google Brexit, the movie. It's an hour documentary.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that. Yeah.
You've seen it? I haven't seen it yet,
but I'm going to.
It's a must. And, you know, I've seen polls that say the online polls say Brexits are winning. And then the phone call polls say the Remains are winning. And a lot's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, you're going to see an unprecedented amount of push from both sides to get their point across. But this is a tremendously important vote. And it's the same thing, you know, it's the same thing as a Switzerland, the Swiss bank. I remember the article I wrote, Thomas Jordan, he's the head of the Swiss National Bank. He doth protest too much because he was out in everywhere the weeks before saying Switzerland will collapse if you vote to buy gold. I mean, you know, that was what the referendum was to do. And how could you do it? And the same thing is going on here with David Cameron. Oh, we're going to have World War III. There's going to be an economic collapse. So we're going to lose hundreds of thousands of jobs. Absolutely ridiculous. None of the sort will happen. The turmoil that will happen in financial markets if they leave will not be because of what's going to happen in Britain. For Britain, it'll be fine. I mean, what'll happen is that everyone would speculate that Europe is going to fall apart, that the nationalist movements that are already, you know, simmering almost at a boil in France and Italy and Spain and Portugal and Greece and all these places are just going to, you know, take the lead. And that's what the great fear is. It's not that if they vote for Brexit, that all of a sudden the British economy will collapse relative to everything else. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, nothing like a little fear tactics to control the masses, right?
Oh, and you'll see them, and you'll see them everywhere. I mean, wait till you see, you were talking about this election cycle. Wait till you see the fear tactics that are going to be used, because, again, we know how well-funded the Clintons are to try to make people think, you know, you like Trump, but you know what the dangers are to the country? Everything will fall apart if he becomes a president. That's what they're going to do. The thing is, you could easily say the same thing about her, but it's a different kind of thing because he's an unknown entity relative to her. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to act. They're going to portray Trump as kind of like the Brexit. Like, if you dare do this, the country will collapse the next day.
Yeah, there's a problem, though, with Hillary Clinton, and that is that she has zero credibility now. She is the epitome of the kleptocracy that has seized control of the U.S. Maybe they always ran it, but they were more of a they were a more considerate parasite than they are now. Now they don't seem to care if they kill the host or not, but she really epitomizes it, you know. $21 million worth of speeches, 15 minutes. I don't know how well they're prepared. We can't find that out because she won't release them to all of the banksters. And, you know, Wall Street, I mean, if there's one institution that is universally reviled and despised in this country now by the vast majority of people, Andy, it is Wall Street. And therefore, I mean, look, all the attacks that they underwrote against Trump in the Republican primary season, right? They spent hundreds of millions of dollars. They fought Trump harder than they fought Obama in the last election.
Oh, they're even in 08. And you know, the thing with
and what happened?
Hillary is because, you know, we know Obama spent more money than anyone spent. Well, other people spent it on his 08 campaign. And then in 2012, they blew that number away because the lobbying is getting so big, you know, right now that as they own these presidential candidates. But what I don't think he was doing that something this blatant, giving, you know, quote, speeches to get money. They were just kind of funneling it to him. But this. You know, first, we were talking about this before the call, how I had never in all my years of, you know, she's been in a public figure at the top of
the political
structure forever. And I never heard her speak until our friend Mike Krieger sent that email out with the video of all of her lies. So you see her giving speeches and you're like, wow,
lies.
She's a really bad speaker. And then this thing comes out yesterday, or I don't know when it came out, of the list of who she gave all these speeches to for, you know,
on average, for a while,
$250,000 each. I mean, you couldn't, you literally will have every single important lobbying group there. There's for pharmaceuticals and biotech and women's groups and every wall. I mean, the number one was Goldman Sachs, I think it was three or four times. There were Canadian companies, media companies, temporary health companies, doctor groups, lawyer groups. Everyone has their hands out, and it couldn't be more blatant that this has nothing to do with speeches, but saying, give me what I want. Here's money.
Hey, and the Clinton Foundation, I don't want to get into politics and all the dirty goings on there, but it's staggering. The corruption. It's just a slush fund. It's not a charity. And you had, who was it? Schweitzer, who wrote the article about the Clinton cash, the book. And now you've got another guy on there who's like a forensic accountant who's unraveled scores of frauds. He's on it. And he says, this thing is just a fraud factory. The Clinton Foundation, the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation is just a fraud factory. It's not a charity in the definition of what a charity is and does.
Oh, it's funny you should say that, because just as you said it, an email literally just came into my email box titled Clinton Foundation as a political PAC affiliated with Hillary. But let's get back to my area of expertise, which is financial, because this is so fascinating. But you've got plenty of other guests I'm sure you could talk to forever about this.
Oh, yeah. But hey, it's and we're not really talking about just what any particular individual is saying or doing. This is the whole system here. Andy. Yeah. It's everything. This is the way it works. And they've just refined it to an art form, the corruption. It's just an art form now, you know, or maybe a science. It's systemic. It's systematic.
And in financial markets and economic data and everything. And which leads me to our next important topic, which no one is looking at, which is a major, major, you know, feather in the cap for precious metal bulls, which is the devaluation of currencies that is exploding under our eyes while no one is even watching. Because again, everyone's forgotten all about all the currency crashes that went on until, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, and it slowed down a little and things stabilized. But guess what? The currencies are all falling again. And the ironic thing is what catalyzed it in their desperate attempt to hold gold and silver down is they're talking about raising interest rates. All of a sudden, currencies are falling again around the world. And commodities have been falling again. The only one that hasn't been has been the oil PPT supported crude oil price. But everything else has been falling. So again, you know, you're getting to a point where you're going to see even more social uprising and political upheaval, because people in America don't realize what the ramifications are. I mean, just look at Brazil or Venezuela of what happens when currencies fall. And the thing that I just noted, you know, remember it was back in August where I wrote that article 24 hours beforehand saying the Chinese are going to devalue the yuan. I called it the upcoming cataclysmic financial big bang to end all big bangs. And that was just a 6% devaluation. And look what it caused, that, you know, crash of markets during the summertime, which had to be saved by the, you know, the various manipulative operators. Well, guess what? Quietly, now that, you know, China's economy is really falling apart, they've been starting to devalue it again. And they really picked up the pace in the past week right after the Fed put out all its propaganda about potentially raising rates. And sure enough, last night, the PBOC just lowered the yuan exchange rate to below the lows of August, meaning anyone who doesn't realize that what they're trying to say is we're getting ready for the second leg of this big devaluation is just, you know, whistling past the graveyard, because no one needs a lower currency more than the Chinese with all that's going on there. And when it becomes obvious to the world who's not watching right now that that 6.55 to the dollar is likely going to fall closer to double digits sometime in the not too distant future, you realize that the final currency war is really about to go thermonuclear.
Hey, and if you want to find out what Wall Street is really all about, I am listening to / reading a book right now called Highway to Hell. It's by this guy, John Lefevre. Lefevre, I think he says. He's like a... He was a Goldman Sachs guy, and he had this Twitter feed called @GS Elevator, which was like all these anecdotes, if you will, about stuff that people say at Goldman Sachs. And it's a phenomenal book. Highly, highly recommend it. It's funny as hell. But on the other hand, you find out that it really lifts the curtain, you know, lifts the curtain at the wizards behind and exposes them. So it's Highway to Hell, True Tales of Deviance, Debauchery, and Billion-Dollar Deals. And if you thought like Wall Street was dignified and staid and just a cut above it all, well, read this book because it is mind-blowing and it's funny as hell. So you will be entertained.
And that's the whole point, that the curtain is being pulled back. I mean, just in this precious metal attack alone in the past week, I mean, I have never seen it more obvious. And again, there's big money around the world. There's the Soroses. Everyone is in watching this right now and seeing that what happened this past week is about one thing and one thing only. The cartel illegally trying to get the speculators to sell their long positions. And everyone knows it. It's only going to create more physical demand. And it's only going to, as you say, pull the curtain out, you know, with the wizard behind it. And everyone could see what's going on. It's not going to, you're not going to be able to pretend that there's a recovery or that, you know, gold is not a safe haven for much longer. All these things, the coalescence of all these political, social, economic, monetary, financial factors are all the perfect storm, are all ganging up on these powers that be. And it's only a matter of time before they lose full control.
Yeah. Yeah, well, or the illusion of it anyway, which is the same thing for our purposes. So be ready, be prepared. The inevitable always occurs, but the problem with the inevitable is you can never prepare for it, and it always occurs when you least expect it. So buckle your seatbelts, get ready, and it's going to happen. Who knows when? Probably sooner than later, and it might be happening right now as we speak. That's why you can never be too prepared too early. Check out Andy's work, milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily missive and his frequent audio blogs, and go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, while you're at it, go over to the iTunes store, assuming you have it on your PC or your Mac, and sign up for the show. Just go to the iTunes store, type in Kerry Lutz or Financial Survival Network or both, come up, click subscribe, show automatically gets delivered to your iTunes application, so you don't have to worry about missing it. And then you can play them back as you like on your phone, in your car, wherever. So check that out. Emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. And if you send me some good ones, we'll review them next week when Andy's on. Till next week, Andy, we will talk to you then.
Can't wait.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.